What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 10th episode of Dropping Dimes, your 2 cents of basketball. My name is Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And sitting across me, as always, is the co-host of this show and Trailblazers number one fan, Rafael. How are you doing, man?
I'm great. Super excited for episode number 10.
It is. It is number 10. It's a milestone.
I never expected that we would get this far.
Very low expectations right there. That doesn't say much about us.
I mean, double digits.
Double digits.
That's more points than you ever scored in a basketball game.
That is not true. That is not true. The most I scored was 27, I think.
What?
In high school. It was a really good game.
Huh. Who are you playing against?
You don't need to know that. We have a very exciting show today for everyone. But we have also very special news. We're very excited because later on this week, we're going to be attending the Vancouver Pod Festival, the Van Pod Fest, which is basically a festival for all things related to podcast creators, aficionados, real professionals like us that are going to be sharing the floor. We're going to go into a meet and greet with creators on Thursday, and you know that we will be there representing Dropping Dimes. And on Saturdays, we're going to a few classes where we can obviously learn more on how to make this show even better. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to make the most out of it because we were not invited. We had to pay for the passes. Maybe next year we'll be invited.
Maybe next year we'll be invited. Shout out to everyone at the Van Pod Fest. It is presented by Doxa, which are the people that bring the documentary festival to Vancouver. And you know, a bunch of sponsors. I'm not going to name them all because, like Rafael said, we haven't received it. We actually got a goodie bag. So something for that.
That, I mean, if you want to be named, you should be doing more than that.
We expect free stuff. Yeah. Anyways, like I said, we have a very exciting show today. It's been a crazy season so far. Can we agree on that? Do we even agree on that?
Yeah, I think we do agree on that. I mean, it's early. There's still a lot of things that will happen, and I'm sure that it's going to get even crazier. But I like the start of the season so far.
I think it's been a bit unpredictable. I don't think that anyone would assume that, you know, the Bucks would be this good, or that even the Raptors would be this good, or that the Lakers would struggle so far.
I mean, the last thing you said that you said there, extra point.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Like, you didn't expect that they would struggle so much.
No, if you go back to a couple episodes, I said that the Lakers will have a rough start.
But let's talk about the Bucks and the Raptors first, because we always end up talking about the Lakers. I don't know why.
The Raptors,
I am surprised. And if you go back to our, you remember when we did that episode where we had to choose one word per team?
Yeah, the one word predictions.
Yes. So I was not expecting a lot from the Raptors, and Rene, our one of our biggest fans, he's probably gonna comment about this.
Shout out to Nene.
He was not happy when I talked about the Raptors a while ago. I am very surprised, but I think what surprised me the most was the fact that they're playing so well without Kawhi.
Yeah, and it was not only the Lakers game.
Against the Trail Blazers as well, I think.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, it was against the
Utah Jazz.
Maybe? Yes, against the Jazz. Yeah. So on this two-game stretch, not only that, it's on the road. It's a long flight from Toronto to LA and then to Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, they are professional athletes. They're probably used to that, but still, and not having Kawhi Leonard, who you could arguably say that he's the catalyst for both the offense and the defense. I'm very impressed.
I expected them to win both games, even without Kawhi, but the way they did it was very impressive. I mean, I expected them to win against the Lakers, even without Kawhi, and I expected them to win against the Jazz, even without Kawhi. And the Jazz, they were coming from like a very negative stretch. And also Donovan Mitchell, he's constantly getting hurt, and he's not playing well this start of the season. Or I should say, he was playing well, but he's struggling with injuries a little bit. So they were coming from the game where he got hurt. So I think that the morale was also
pretty low.
Yeah. So And they lost again after that. Who did they play yesterday? They played against somebody else. Was it the Raptors yesterday? I think the Jazz played against
the Raptors. So it was the Lakers on Sunday, and yeah, the Jazz yesterday.
Yeah. So I was watching that game in the
Jazz. Oh, sorry, those are the Raptors. So the Jazz played against... I think the Jazz is struggling for sure.
Yeah.
I think last season we saw, you know, what they can be.
Yeah.
But this season, this is, I think, a show of what they look at probably their lowest.
Yeah, I think during the playoffs last year, they were like peaking. And now they're like at a low point. So I think they are somewhere in between what's happening now and what happened during the playoffs last year.
And so, I mean, just to confirm, the Jazz on Saturday, they lost against the Nuggets, who are also being very impressive.
Yes.
And then on Monday, they lost against the Raptors.
But I watched a bit of every game against the Lakers, against the Raptors, against the Nuggets, and against... who else was it? Was another game.
No, hold on. The Jazz played against the Nuggets on Saturday.
Yes.
They didn't play on Sunday. They played yesterday, Monday, against the Raptors.
I watched a little bit of both games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was pretty ugly basketball that they were playing. Like, they were taking a lot of bad shots. And sometimes in the past, when they were taking those bad shots, they would make the shots. So it makes it look like they were good shots.
Yeah.
And now, because they're not making the shots, it's clearly bad basketball.
Well, and also the problem really is that, I mean, they all have to play well for the team to do well. And that's an issue because, honestly, Donovan Mitchell is their superstar. That's a given. But who's their second superstar?
Rudy Gobert.
But Gobert is not an offensive machine. He's a defensive machine for sure. And then after that, maybe Joe Ingles. And then after that, Ricky Rubio. I mean, Ricky Rubio, for me, he's a traditional point guard in the sense of the word that he's a pass first. You cannot ask Ricky Rubio to give you more than maybe 10 to 12 points a night.
But I know what's the biggest problem with the Jazz this season, and I know why they're struggling. Because they took Raul Zinho out of the rotation.
Right.
He's not playing, so...
And this is Raul Neto, right?
Raul Neto,
yes. Is he with the Salt Lake City Stars?
I think so.
I hope so.
But, you know, there's this rookie that came from what university he was playing for? Was it Duke, I think? Allen?
Oh, Grayson Allen.
Yes. He's playing a lot of minutes and they're not giving minutes to Neto. I don't understand. Like, maybe he has a lot of potential, but he's very raw still.
You know what's the problem with Latin players? And an exception here and there, you know. A notable exception is obviously Nene and Ginobili. Barbosa, Ginobili. I mean, those guys should be the standard for Latin American players. I mean, we're going on a tangent. I'm sorry, everyone, but there's been players from all over Latin America, from Mexico to Argentina, that have made the NBA, and we only remember a few because the rest of them do the dirty work. And I'm not playing any analogies here, but honestly, they try to make a name of themselves by doing the dirty work, the things that don't give them stats. And other than Ginobili, other than Barbosa, other than Nene.
We're generalizing a little bit, but...
A little bit,
Let's do a little trivia here.
Well, hold on. Let me just finish that point. All of them try to do the little things that convert them into fan favorites, but that unfortunately doesn't make them... won't allow them to make the cut in the end. They will either get waived or sent to the G League, or they'll find better luck in other leagues around the world.
Okay, so now... Trivia question, and you guys know my trivia questions are quite difficult.
They are.
So, first question, probably, and you know this one, you know this one already, yes. Because we talked about this.
I already forgot the answer.
Who was the first Argentinian player to play in the NBA? That's the first one. Second, Venezuelan player that played for the Houston Rockets.
And other teams?
I only remember Houston Rockets. He was one of the first Latin Americans to play in the NBA as well, the 90s.
I was thinking of someone more recent.
And third, Puerto Rican that played for the Utah Jazz. You probably know
that one. Oh, I know that one. Yeah. I know that one, yeah.
And he was also a point guard.
Yeah, but that was a little bit easier because he really made a name off for himself.
Yeah.
He also played for the Heat.
he was a good player. He should have had a better career. Like he's a bit like Ray Frauston.
But you know, he also kind of falls into that more like he scored. This sucks. I want to say his name, but anyways, before we continue, let us know on Instagram if you know the answer to those three questions. If you do, we'll be very impressed. No Googling allowed. But yeah, this Puerto Rican player, he kind of falls into that category of like he's a fan favorite. You can spot him within the team photo, but you would not consider him a starter. Maybe. Especially there are some players, but think about Manu. Manu made a career by coming out of the bench.
Yep.
And rarely did he ever start. He never requested to be a starter. He never pulled a Carmelo Anthony, basically. He actually embraced his role from the bench.
Yes.
But anyways,
we did have an agenda and we planned to follow the agenda. So
somehow we ended up talking about Latin players.
Let's try to follow the agenda. But hey, there's one more interesting case. A guy from Puerto Rico as well. He played in the NBA for the Phoenix Suns, if I'm not mistaken. And then he became a Harlem Globetrotter.
Oh, I think... Does his name start with O?
I'm not sure if it's O. I know his last name. And I'm pretty sure that the first name is with D. Last name starts with S, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways...
Let's go back to the agenda.
Next episode, we're going to talk about the trivia questions.
That sounds good. Let's talk more about Latin basketball and its influence in the NBA next episode. So there's a tease already.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going over the impressive start of the Raptors and the Bucks. And as we were saying originally, you know, I was very impressed by how they beat the Lakers. It was a no contest. We mm-hmm. tried to come back. There was a chance that we had in the fourth quarter, but honestly, they took it from the very beginning. Serge Ibaka looks great. I don't know how. Kyle Lowry, and I've always said this, and I'm still going to say it, he's severely underrated. Severely underrated.
Do you think he lost some weight?
No. I think he's chunky, and I agree. He's chunky. He's got a big badonkadonk, but he knows how to work it.
Hey, but I think that the most impressive thing is their D. Like, they're playing crazy defense.
They are, and they hustle a lot. But you know what? I think it is also because now you have Pascal Siakam.
Yes,
he's starting in the...
It's impressive as well.
Starting the games instead of Valanciunas, who... Valanciunas is more of a traditional big man.
Yeah.
Like, he's strong. He's a presence in the rim. But Pascal Siakam, he hustles... So damn much.
And also they have Monroe, right?
Greg Monroe. But
yeah, he used to play for the Pistons, was it? Or for the...
I think he came from the Bucks, he sort of made a name of himself with the Pistons.
Yeah.
Again, very impressive. Because also they have a new coach. Their system hasn't changed a lot. But, I mean, you could argue that they lost the face of the franchise. New coach. Sort of new system. They had a few things going against them. The whole thing with Kawhi. But look at them.
I want to give credit to the GM, but I'm not sure if I can say his name. Masai Ujiri.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a very good GM. I mean, he's making like tough calls early on. People are very... How can I say... people second guessed his calls.
Yeah.
But he has huge balls, to be honest. I mean, to make those moves when he's
I don't know him that well, but I trust you.
It's just that, I mean, it takes a lot of balls to make moves like that.
You know, he's for sure so far probably the what's it called? Of the year, the not general manager of the year.
Executive of the year,
yeah. Thank you. He's right now, he's got that prize in his back so far. It would take another meltdown in the playoffs, like the one from last year by the Raptors, for him to lose that trophy. But
even with the meltdown, that's not his fault, really.
Well, no, but I can see how maybe they look at maybe someone from the Nuggets office or the Philadelphia office or even Boston. Anyways, there's other candidates. But I think Masai is well on his way to earn that one.
Yeah.
Speaking of other teams, the Bucks. The Bucks have also had an impressive start, 8-1. I had them up on my projections, but I mean, I don't know if this is a temporary thing or if they're actual contenders. The changing coaching actually helped them, because you went from Jason Kidd, who obviously was great at basketball. He was a great player, but maybe he wasn't great at coaching. I see a lot of similarities between Mark Jackson with the Warriors and when Steve Kerr came in. I mean, they were both players. That's the only thing. Yeah. But between Jason Kidd and Coach Bud, like, Mike Budenholzer took that Atlanta team with a few superstars, and
yes,
they had an impressive winning streak.
They were first seed, right? First seed in the East, I think.
Yeah. And they had that crazy win streak a few years ago. And now with players with a lot of talent like Giannis, Chris Middleton, and other good role players, they're doing a good job.
But I wonder if the Bucks are going to be another case of a team similar to the Magic with T-Mac, you know, that they really, really depended on that superstar.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I mean, there's a clear ceiling, or I mean, it's clear that they're not going to get too far if they depend 100% on Giannis. Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Good job. Yes. Can
still use a little word. So, I mean, that's the only thing. I'm not sure if they can, if they can go far, or how far they can go. I think they depend too much on their superstar.
Yeah.
It's a similar case to the Magic with T-Mac or the Sixers with Allen Iverson. But the Sixers, they actually made it to the finals, which was very impressive.
Yeah.
Or even like the Nets with Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin. I mean, true, it was a clear case of a team that only made it to the finals because the East was extremely weak at the time. And also Jason Kidd makes every team look better than they are. Similar to Steve Nash, for example. I think if Steve Nash was playing in the East, he would probably make it to the final every year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's a good point. But, I mean, so far it seems that the East is for the Raptors to lose. The Celtics, they're starting to come together, but they don't look as menacing as I thought. Gordon Hayward is making good progress. Kyrie has, you know, he's going to be back to being Uncle Drew Kyrie, but he still has one night that is off every now and then, which can be expected.
I think that also has to do with Gordon Hayward and the fact that he's not Gordon Hayward yet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not playing to the potential that we know that he can play.
Right.
And I think that's affecting them. But I also feel like this season, or at least the start of the season, it's been very exciting and interesting because it seems like there's no teams trying to tank. I mean,
so
other
far,
than a couple.
So far.
The Suns and the Cavs, maybe they don't want to.
I don't think they would want to.
Yeah, but they are struggling a lot.
They are tanking without even them noticing.
Yes, it's clear that their season, it's not going to go well. And they should start planning for the lottery already.
You know what? Actually, a team that, besides the Cavs, that I would, if I were the GM, I would say, blow it up. Here's a helmet for everyone because we're tanking. The Wizards.
But they have good players. It's just that they didn't expect that they would miss the polish hammer so much.
But it's not that. I honestly think that everyone in the Wizards locker room hates each other. I think that John Wall hates everyone. I think that Bradley Beal hates everyone. Dwight Howard, I don't know what he wants. I think he's just happy to be there at this point. But I don't know. Maybe I would even try to trade Dwight if there's any value for him.
It's just that that's a franchise that they don't know what's a healthy locker room. Because they had a superstar for the longest time that would bring guns into the locker room.
That's an isolated incident. You're talking about Gilbert Arenas.
Yes.
But that's an isolated incident.
So they feel like they have a very good relationship because they didn't
try
to kill each other
10 years ago. That's more than 10 years ago. I don't know. No, that's a lazy argument. Come on, man. The Wizards right now, they're imploding in front of us. It's a train wreck that is going by so slowly. So slowly. Not even the Magic are this terrible.
Well, because the thing is that the Wizards, they were good for a while, or they had good potential, and now we see that they're going down, and it's going to implode. The Magic, we don't feel as negative about it, or we don't look as much into it just because they were always bad.
But, you know, as of today, as of November 6th, 2018, the Magic is... They have 4 wins and 6 losses, and the Wizards have 2 wins, 8 losses. The only team that is worse than them is Cleveland, who inadvertently is tanking.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's jump to the West. And let's start off with a team, you know, since we were talking about train wrecks, let's start off with the Timberwolves.
Oh, wow.
Do you like that? Do you like that?
I was trying to identify what you were trying to do there.
It's I'm still looking for my soundboard. I don't think I'll get it anytime soon. So, you know, after last week's episode where Jason was doing his own sound bites, I'll try to do the same.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Timberwolves. And
you should run that through me before we start recording.
No, it was a surprise. Did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could identify the animal, but... It was good. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's talk about the Timberwolves and how sick I am of hearing about Jimmy Butler. Are you not fed up with Jimmy Butler and his on-court and off-court shenanigans at this point?
I like that drama. I like that drama. I think it's interesting.
If you enjoyed the drama, you would be a Lakers fan.
Nah. No, but I think it's interesting to see how crazy the situation is, and the fact that he's still playing there, even though everyone knows that he doesn't want to be there. Did you see that footage of him against the game against the Warriors? That
he was waving the towel with the crowd. But that, to me, like, if I were the owner or a general manager that is not Tom Thibodeau, I would have shipped his ass somewhere else. I mean, you're basically rooting against your teammates. But then, do you see what Jimmy Butler came out to say today?
No.
About his teammates? I quote, "I love these mother effers." What is that about?
He needs...
It's like, you're rooting against
them,
therapy. But he's trying to save his image. He's trying to make it sound like it's against front office and not against his teammates, where there's been multiple occasions where he's talked about Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and how soft they are.
He's right about that.
Yeah, but, you know, the Timberwolves, they were sure to a degree that he would be traded. They gave Karl Anthony Towns a big extension. They gave Andrew Wiggins an extension. And now they're stuck with Jimmy Butler. And with everything that is going on, no team wants Jimmy Butler.
But that's not why they gave Karl Anthony Towns a big extension.
A little bit.
The reason why this drama started... It's because they gave Karl Anthony Towns a big extension even after he choked during the playoffs.
But no. Okay, so in that timeline, you know, Butler requests a trade. It seems like everything's... He gives his list of teams. It seems that things are moving along towards the trade. And the talks with Miami started happening. And then front office, like the owner, decides to give Kat a big extension. And same with Andrew Wiggins. And it wasn't after that they were like, uh-oh, we're still stuck with Jimmy Butler. And now they're still stuck with Jimmy Butler. And he's taking these random games off, saying that he needs rest because he's banged up. Whoop-de-doo! Everyone in the NBA gets banged up. It's a physical sport. What do you expect? I just don't appreciate it. I think he's being a terrible teammate. I would not trade for him. Ever. Regardless, I could be the worst
team in the
league.
So you're saying that you wouldn't like him to join the Lakers with LeBron?
No, God, no. No.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
100%. You don't think he would make them better?
I don't think he would be a good presence in the locker room.
He's not a good defender. He's not a good
He is a good player. I didn't say he's terrible. I just don't think that his attitude is what many teams need right now.
So you prefer playoff P? Or what's his name?
Paul George?
Yeah.
He's got a better attitude at this point. Please notice that I didn't say screw you, Paul George, for the 11th episode in a row, probably, even though we only have 10.
Yeah, but I feel like I don't know, Jimmy Butler, he could still be a superstar somewhere else, and he needs a place where the front office wants to put together a tough team, like a team that, you know, he can identify to.
The Rockets?
He can identify with. Well, the Rockets would be much better off with him instead of Carmelo Anthony, but, for sure.
Okay, but it's not like the Rockets didn't make a move. They tried, and they sent a hefty package. I mean, they were the maximum amount of draft picks that you could send on a trade, four of them. Now, the Rockets are not going to be a terrible team, so those picks wouldn't be too high. But still, I mean, do you think that the Timberwolves will be champions this year?
No.
And that's what Tom Thibodeau is sort of betting on, that they will be a contender. And that's why he doesn't want to trade him. But that's stupid. That's such a short-term goal and a terrible way to build a team.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see him playing with the Rockets, just because I feel extremely bad about Chris Paul and the fact that again it's another missed opportunity. Probably it's gonna be another missed opportunity this year. I mean, it's too early, but it looks like they're not gonna be as good as they were last year.
Although they're bringing back their defensive coordinator, I can remember the name of the coach.
But he retired, right?
He retired, so he's coming back from retirement.
But still, they're not bringing back Trevor Ariza and Emba Mute, and I think that's gonna make up. That's the biggest difference. It's not the defensive coordinator.
Well, I mean, it depends. It seems like they had no defense, and also James Harden was out for a couple of games, so it is still very early in the season. Very early in the season, and it is tough to say that the Rockets won't be or won't. They will probably not be the same team that they were last year, for sure, because they don't have the same players, but I wouldn't count them out. Mike D'Antoni is a good coach. They have James Harden, Chris Paul. They don't have a bad team.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Sorry, we missed an important topic now that we were talking about the Timberwolves. Derrick Rose, he went for 50 points last week.
Yeah.
Do you have a chance to see
footage? I watched the second half probably.
Yeah.
Of that game. It was a good game, but it's just that with Derrick Rose, we always remember the old Derrick Rose and how impressive he was dunking, and you know, his layups, how aggressive he was, and he's never going to be that player again, but he's still a very talented player, and he can make up for the lack of power and explosion with other things. But I mean, it's not like for example when Steph Curry went crazy 2 weeks ago, or even Jamal Murray from the Nuggets yesterday.
Which we'll talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was impressive because besides getting to 50 points or 48 points, the way he was doing, the way that those players did it, it was impressive. Yeah. With Derrick Rose, it was more like it was a consequence of the game. You know, like it's not like he was clearly playing much better than everyone else. At least that's how I felt about it.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I think he poured his heart out that game.
Yeah.
It, you know, just seeing the way that he worked for each and every basket, you could see that he looked like 2011 MVP Derrick Rose. And yes, he didn't have that explosiveness, but just him finishing at the rim and using all those picks and trying to get through the defense, it was great to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I like those kind of stories that, you know, a player is injured and comes back, and sort of like Sean Livingston in the Warriors. That's a really good story.
Mm-hmm.
But this was taken to the next step. I mean, I hope that he has a good season. He's been bouncing off the league and from teams. And honestly, even I've said at times that, you know, Derrick Rose is done, but it seems that he's reinventing himself.
Yeah, and it's tougher for him than it was for Sean Livingston, because the expectations with Derrick Rose are much higher.
Yeah.
Like Sean Livingston, he was a great player, but he was never the kind of player that Derrick Rose is or was. He never had the same explosiveness and he was never as dominant.
Yeah.
But he found his role. Like, he after he got injured and he joined the Warriors, when he joined the Warriors, he found his role, right? And he's very good at that. So, I mean, I think Derrick Rose can find his role, but every time there will be more talks around his name just because the spotlight shines, you know, much brighter on him.
Like, yeah.
People want to talk more about him.
And also his post-game interview, I shed a little tear for Derrick Rose. It was very emotional, and, you know, you could see that he was exhausted. He gave it all out on the court.
And you mentioned Sean Livingston, and when you said Sean, I thought you were going to say, or I thought about Sean Elliott. You remember him from the San Antonio Spurs?
Yeah, yeah.
Sean Elliott. He was part of the Spurs that still had David Robinson and Tim Duncan.
Yep.
And I think it was liver cancer or some sort of disease, and he needed a transplant, and he got the transplant, and then he came back.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all like those stories.
Yeah. Even Nene. Nene, he had
testicle cancer. Yeah, true. Shout out to Nene. Uh-huh. Not Nene, Nene.
Yes.
Because Nene is a friend that is a Raptors fan. Moving on to the Nuggets, who are also being very impressive. And they're just behind the Warriors on the West by half a game. They have 9 wins and 1 loss. The Warriors are 10 wins and 1 loss. But I didn't expect the Nuggets to be this good, to be honest.
Yeah. They clearly traded the right big man. Like, instead of trading Jokic, they traded Nurkic.
Yeah.
And Nurkic is great, don't get me wrong. But Jokic is impressive. He's been impressive, and Jamal Murray is playing well. And I mean,
it seems like right now it's sort of the opposite from the Jazz. Like, we're seeing the best version of the Nuggets.
Yes.
So I don't know. I cannot even think if this will be continuous, if they will be this same impressive team. I do want to point out that their only loss came at the hands of the Lakers. Just want to throw that out there. But let's talk about Jamal Murray.
They should clearly be undefeated, right? That's what you're trying to say.
No, their only loss so far has come from the Lakers. That's all I'm saying.
But I wonder if they would be this good if they didn't trade Nurkic, if they had both big men.
Maybe, you know, they would be even more impressive because you would have probably Nurkic coming off the bench.
But the reason they traded him was because they couldn't play. They thought they couldn't play together, right?
Well, that was still when, you know, what's his name? The Manimal, Fareed, had still, there was hopes for him to become more than what he was, a very athletic and defensive-minded player. Because Jokic is both. He's present on both ends of the court. And then he's guarded by really good players who are right now playing very well. One of them, Jamal Murray, who yesterday scored 48 points against the Celtics, against Kyrie Irving, who's a pretty good defender.
And he was impressive yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw the highlights, and, I mean, he couldn't miss a layup. And, like, end ones and, you know, like, a lot of contact. And he was still finishing at the rim, and it was very impressive.
He's pretty good. And he's Canadian.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
What do you think of that last second shot after the game was decided and he chucked that three, he missed, and then Kyrie grabs the ball, chucks it back to the crowd, and there were a few word exchanges there.
It was clearly unnecessary. He didn't need to do that. Maybe he got too excited. Yeah. And maybe that's a sign that he's not a superstar. He's a player that is not used to get to this kind of have this kind of game.
I mean, he's good.
He's good, but he's clearly not used to that.
Yeah, I mean, he's on his, second year? I also thought it was unnecessary. I mean, if I were in the Celtics, I would have probably tried to start up a fight or at least go and talk some trash to him. Because, yeah, that's the one unwritten rule, one of the many unwritten rules in basketball, that once the game is decided, you don't score, you don't dunk, you don't do anything fancy. You hold on to the ball or you dribble it out.
Yeah.
So I think he was a little bit of a smartass. Smartass button.
Sm- smart as alarm, right?
Smart as alarm. All right, let's talk about the Lakers. What?
Okay, let's talk about the Lakers.
Let's get it over with. You enjoy hating the Lakers. Come on. So there were reports that came out over the weekend that Magic Johnson admonished Luke Walton during a meeting, saying that, well, it was sort of implied that his job security depended on turning the team around and delivering better results. And that was before we played the Blazers on Saturday, who we beat. It wasn't easy, though. We basically gave up a 20-point lead on the fourth quarter. It was a lot closer than I would have wanted. We watched the game.
I can't believe we lost that game.
No, I mean, it could have been better. That wouldn't have been a game that you guys lost. The Lakers would have given up, honestly. Because by the third quarter, we had a 20-point lead. That was something that we could have just easily maintained.
Yeah, but it should have been an easy game for the Blazers, considering the momentum of both teams. And it was at home. We were playing at home.
Yeah.
The problem with the Blazers, and we're talking about the Lakers, I know that, but I'm just going to say that the problem with the Blazers is that they're too crazy. Like, they don't know how to control the game. So sometimes they have a 15-point lead, and it goes away just like this in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Just because they don't control the tempo. They just want to keep running and running. And Lillard, he feels like he's Steph Curry a bit too much. And he wants to, you know, take every three that he can.
Yeah.
And I think that's not good for the team. They need to find a better pace, and they need to have a little bit more control of their leads and of the tempo of the game. Now, with the Lakers, I think Luke Walton, he gets more credit and he gets opportunities than maybe another guy wouldn't receive as easily as he did.
Yeah.
I think that clearly he has, he knows how to move within that organization. Talking about the Lakers.
He's part of the Lakers family.
And he's very good friends with one of the daughters, right?
With our current owner, with Jeannie Buss.
Exactly. So I feel like he shouldn't even be the current coach, or he shouldn't have been appointed.
You think so?
Yeah. Because he didn't prove himself, did he?
Now, let it be known that it wasn't Jeannie Buss that brought Luke. It was Jim Buss,
your
brother, right? I think right now, you know, after the meeting and after the blowout by the Raptors, everyone started saying like, oh, is Luke going to be around next game, yada, yada. And now today, earlier today, Magic Johnson came out to say Luke is going to finish the year.
Yeah, but normally when the GM says that, it's because, I mean, there is a little bit of instability and he could be gone soon.
No, I understand that. And I've heard other people saying that, you know, I'm not saying you're crazy, but I think that someone, and probably Jeannie Buss, told Magic that you have to be patient. Because honestly, there's moments where the Lakers seem unbeatable. You know, Portland is playing pretty well during the season. We got a 20-point lead. We had a very good game against the Nuggets. But then, you know, we barely got out of a game against the Mavericks. Then we get routed by the Raptors. So it's very inconsistent. Very, very inconsistent. There are stretches of games where, honestly, it feels like it's the Showtime Lakers all over again. And there are times where we're the meme team.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the issues, and I was listening to, was it The Jump or, I don't know. I was watching a video this morning or couple of days ago, and they were saying that one of the biggest issues was that their defense got much worse if you compare to last season. So I mean, they don't see improvement, actually got worse.
Yeah,
so that's one of the biggest issues, and that's one of the biggest things when they say that Magic Johnson is not happy with his work. Now, my concern is that I don't think he deserved this shot as a coach with the Lakers.
I don't know. I mean, I think, look, I agree. He's part of the Lakers family. He was a player. He's the son of Bill Walton, who, I mean, he never played for the Lakers, but he's from UCLA. He played for UCLA. He's a LA native. So there's a lot going on around. And he's got really good ties with Genie Buss. But, you know, introducing LeBron to this system is not easy. LeBron is not the kind of player that you can just coach and that's it. He's not another young player that is looking to improve or to learn something new. He's there to try to win games. And he's got a very different perspective from Luke Walton. So if Luke leaves, it's because, honestly, because LeBron is not gonna, might not fit in with his system.
And also, if one positive thing for Luke, though, is that if you think about LeBron's career, he was never, he never managed to be champion with a good, with like a, how can I say, a coach with a huge reputation.
Yeah.
It was Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
Tyronn Lue.
Yeah.
And that's it, right?
That's it, yeah.
So it's almost like he doesn't get along with the big names, or he never had the chance to be coached by a big name, to be honest. Because with the Cavs, at first it was Mike Brown,
yep.
Was it? And Paul Silas?
Paul Silas?
Yeah, the guy that was also the Hornets coach
before.
I think he was his first coach, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Mike Brown.
Then Eric Spoelstra.
David
Blatt.
Blatt.
And then Ty Lue.
But he was only champion with Eric Spoelstra and Ty Lue.
Yeah.
And Eric Spoelstra, first season was similar to what's going on with the Lakers now.
Well, it's
and,
a young
and I was
coach.
Also very critical about Eric Spoelstra. But I also don't think that he should be there for such a long time. He shouldn't still be the coach of the Miami Heat.
What?
I think Pat Riley is very, very patient with him.
No, but Eric Spoelstra turned out to be one of the best coaches in the NBA.
Yeah, everyone talks a lot about him, but to be honest,
he's pretty damn good.
I don't know.
He is pretty damn good. He turned a mediocre team into a playoff team, and he managed to handle Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and a lot of the supporting cast.
I mean, maybe the problem I have with him is still a little bit of, you know, reminiscent of LeBron hate that I always will have and that I always had. But also the problem is that Pat Riley is there, and I would love to see Pat Riley coaching again.
But Pat Riley, I don't think Pat Riley would have been, I mean, I love Pat Riley. He's an amazing coach, but I don't think that he's out of touch. He hasn't been a coach for years. Last time that he was a coach, it was when the Miami Heat won the first championship. Right, with Dwayne Wade and Shaq,
mm-hmm.
and Antoine Walker and this team. But he wouldn't be able to right now. It's a different game. It's no longer a big man's game. It's a game where everyone shoots three-pointers, where everyone has to be fast, everyone has to be athletic.
It's just that he looks like he just came out of the cast of Godfather.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I like him so much. I like when he's coaching. Also, there was a guy that used to be the coach of the Houston Rockets. He already died, but what was his name? I think he was the one that took them to the championship.
Rudy Tomjanovic?
Yes, he was also a bit of a...
Yeah, like a good fellas kind of guy.
Yeah.
So just to wrap it up with the Lakers, today it was made official that Tyson Chandler joined the team, which should help with our defensive challenges. Because right now, JaVale McGee is the guy that is holding up the defense. And Tyson Chandler has always been known for his defensive capabilities. So he should be able to also mentor the younger players.
He's not the same Tyson Chandler anymore.
No,
right?
I agree.
Let's make it clear.
I'm not saying that Tyson Chandler is going to come to the game and, you know, block everyone. But he knows so much about how to play defense. And that's why we're bringing him.
And
he has to teach other players how to play defense.
People in Phoenix or fans in Phoenix are very happy that he's gone.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I was going through the comments because the Suns Instagram, they posted like thanking him and, you know, like, you know, saying good luck or whatever. And people like were commenting saying, thank you for what?
Well, I mean, he's a fan favorite usually. right now the Suns are trying to develop their younger players.
Yeah.
So similar to the Lakers, where we want the young players to develop, but we have LeBron James as well. So they have to speed up that development, right? And the only way to do that is to honestly play them a lot, play them a heavy amount of minutes, and pair them up with veterans, which now we do have veterans in LeBron James. Even, I mean, JaVale McGee, I'm impressed. I'm totally impressed. Lance, he's behaving.
Mm-hmm.
And now adding Tyson Chandler. I mean, that's a good group of veterans, honestly. Wouldn't you like to be mentored by Tyson Chandler and LeBron James? That's a pretty good deal. So I think the Lakers, yes, I think on our one-word predictions, I still think we make the playoffs. I don't think we'll be a top four team. I think 6th, 7th seed. And I stand by that.
I said, if I remember correctly, I said that I wasn't sure if you guys would make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, but you're a hater, so...
No, but, I mean, it was my honest opinion.
No, you're hating.
No.
You're hating.
No.
You're hating.
No.
That's fine. We know that. I mean, ever since I decided to become a Lakers fan, that came with a lot of hatred, and that's fine.
No, because you're a Lakers fan, you think or you feel like everyone else is hating.
No,
it's just my opinion.
It's true, though. People like hating on the Lakers. It's a thing.
I also said that I wasn't expecting a lot from the Trail Blazers. I also said that I wasn't expecting a lot from the Raptors.
Well, you're just very pessimistic, it seems. I think you only had a good outcome out of the Warriors.
No,
that was easy.
I don't remember other teams that I said would do well.
No one except the Warriors, according to you.
I mean, we would have to go through it again, but...
Anyways... it's been a very exciting season so far. We'll continue to analyze as things develop. But let's switch into our fashion mode. So, Rafael, put on your fashion hat, which I'm sure you have one.
Okay.
You don't? There you go. That's the one. That's the one that I'm talking about. A lot of the city uniforms have been unveiled, as I'm sure that you know.
Yes.
Not all of them.
Yes,
but
because we were talking about it like 30 minutes ago before we started.
That is correct. Before the show.
Yes.
There's about, I think, 14 that have been made official, and there's another 16 that we're missing. Amongst the ones that have been announced are Brooklyn, who are giving an homage to... oh my God, I forgot his name. The rapper. Oh my
Jay-Z.
God. No, not Jay-Z. No. Tupac's rival.
Biggie.
Biggie. Thank you.
Notorious B.I.G. Oh.
Thank you. How did I forget that? So it's sort of a tribute to Biggie. The Hornets are going with the same concept as last year, Buzz City, and in teal. Chicago is again displaying the Chicago flag, but in black.
I mean, I know we're going to talk about each individual jersey.
Right.
But I just want to make a comment. We're looking at the jerseys as we speak, and the Chicago one looks a little bit like the Clippers colorway. It makes me think about the Clippers uniform from like a couple of seasons ago.
But that's the Chicago flag. That's a design that
It's,
you know, it's the Chicago flag. It doesn't get any more Chicago than that. I actually like that one, even though it's very similar to the one from last year. So from those three, from Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Chicago, so far I would buy, you know, let's put it in terms of like, would you buy it or not? Would you buy Brooklyn's jersey?
No.
Me neither. Charlotte?
No. Not this one. I like other uniforms. Or
me
other
neither.
Versions.
I would buy the retro.
Yeah, the retro
which
one.
Which hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah.
Chicago, would you buy it?
Yes. Out of these three, Chicago was probably the one that...
Me too. I would consider buying it. Yes?
No, let's keep going.
Then we have Denver and Detroit. So Denver is... sort of going throwback with the rainbow, but it's not the traditional rainbow. It's not the rainbow on the blue color. It's rainbow, and it's sort of a gradient on a white jersey.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I didn't like it.
Well, because it's white. You don't like white.
No, it's not that. It's just, I don't know. I didn't like the fade that the rainbow
has. But you
would
never buy a white jersey, right?
I have a Lakers white jersey.
Well, because it's the Lakers, but I mean, that's like one out of 400 Lakers jersey that you have.
True, yes. And then Detroit, with their Motor City jersey, they changed it to now black.
It's too simple.
It's gray on black.
It's too simple.
And the race stripes in the middle of the jersey. So it's supposed to be a shout out to the car industry in Detroit, yada yada.
Is there a car industry still?
Shout out to our fans in Detroit who will never ever listen to this podcast.
Is that the tire marks of the people that are leaving the city?
Oh, stop. Stop right now. No. No. I will not allow this.
These guys...
Stop! No, wait, no, wait, no, no, no.
Last one. These guys that were leaving their house because they were kicked out of their house and they were going to
the Silverdome.
They're living under the Silverdome.
We're going to get flagged for that. We're going to get flagged.
Of course not.
Please apologize right now.
No.
We're going to get flagged.
It's just a joke. It's just a joke.
No.
We're not going to get flagged.
Would you buy the Denver jersey?
Maybe.
What about Detroit?
To help the city.
I need a new co-host. I would not buy any of those.
And by the way, I'm just joking. Because you know what? There's a very interesting movement in Detroit right now. It's one of the most interesting places for young people to live because it's so cheap if you want to start a business, if you want to buy a place. There are so many underground artists living there and there's a very interesting movement going on right there.
Thank you.
Right now. So
that's all I wanted.
Yes.
Thank you. Let's move on to the next three. We got Miami coming back with the Miami Vice theme, but in black.
Miami Vice. I love the Miami Vice.
I love it.
I actually want to buy both. I want to buy the white one if I can still find it, and I want to buy the black one.
I want to buy the black one so bad, so bad. Then we have the Bucks with a shout out to the Mecca court that they used to sport in the 70s. I think it was a bold idea, but a poor execution. Think there are other artists on Twitter and on Reddit that have used the same concept, the original concept, and done a better job at the uniform than the Bucks did.
Mm.
And then we have the Timberwolves with the tribute to Prince.
I don't like it. Well, okay, now that I know that it's a tribute to Prince.
Wait. You didn't know it was a tribute to Prince?
It is
based on Purple Rain.
Okay, so...
That's why it's sort of like purple magenta.
I respect the idea, but... I'm not sure if I like the uniform. Now, I think it would be funny if they made Jimmy Butler play with a different jersey. Like, everyone plays with one colorway and he plays with a different one because he's basically out of there already. So he could play with this uniform and everyone else plays with the... with whatever, like the home or away or another jersey. The one that I actually want to buy from Minnesota is the throwback one.
Yeah.
That one.
And actually, Derrick Rose... They were wearing those jerseys, the one with the trees on the sleeves.
Yes.
So Miami, buy, yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. Bucks?
No.
Yeah, no. Wolves?
No.
No. That's annoying, Wolf.
Okay.
We're almost there. Then we have OKC with a shout out to all the First Nations from Oklahoma, which I think it's a very interesting design. Then Orlando again with, I think they call it shoot to the stars, shoot for the stars jersey.
Mm.
I don't even know. It's just black and it resembles a night sky and it's got the Orlando basketball shooting across.
They need to do a better job.
And then Philadelphia.
I like Philadelphia. I know you didn't like it. I like Philadelphia.
But you know the story behind or the concept behind
no.
it? It's a shout out to Rocky. Rocky, the boxer.
Balboa.
Yeah, Rocky Balboa. And it's all gray because the sweatpants that Rocky wears at the sweatshirt, they're all gray.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
So it's all gray and they're trying to resemble the tracksuit that Rocky wore during his training. And even the fabric, I mean, not the fabric of the actual jersey, but it's supposed to mimic that of the sweatpants. And then we got the Suns with Lost Sons, which I appreciate the shout out to the Latin community, but the overall design of the jersey is lazy. It's just all purple, and it says Lost Sons across the chest. It's they have so much. I mean, it's like Latin culture is just adding an adjective in Spanish.
Yeah,
there's so much more they can go for. So OKC, buy or drop?
No, I wouldn't buy it.
I would. I like the color.
I like the color, but I wouldn't buy it. I like their third jersey, or what is it called again? The name
of the city jersey
from last year. I like the one from last year.
Orlando?
No.
Yeah, no, it's too cheesy.
Orlando, I mean, they have Magic Kingdom in that city. What is it called? I forgot how they call the guys that developed the rides and also the movies for Disney. It's not Imagineering or what?
Industrial Light and Magic? No.
They have a name for the role of those guys. The guys that, you know, like, they're very creative and they come up with these crazy ideas.
Okay.
Like, they should use those guys to come up with a better uniform.
I mean, if Disney is their sponsor, so
yeah,
they should maybe work on a Mickey Mouse jersey. Something that actually says more Orlando, maybe. Philadelphia.
I like Philadelphia.
No, I like wouldn't. Their city jersey from last year, I would have considered it. And the Suns?
No, I don't.
Say no.
I don't remember the one from last season's Philadelphia city jersey.
It was supposed to be to resemble the paper where the U.S. Constitution was written. So it was cream, and it said cursive font Phila.
Yes, it was pretty. It was pretty.
And Suns last year was all purple, and I cannot remember. I think it said Lost Suns as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this year they added an orange thread to the sleeves and to the outline of the letters.
Okay.
So no.
No.
And the other two that so far have been confirmed are the Utah Jazz going back again with their yellow to black gradient.
Yes.
Very, very different. And the Wizards with the District of Columbia jersey, but this time around they have it in black.
Yeah, so Utah, it looks a little bit different than the one from last year. I mean, same concept, but it looks a little bit different.
If I'm not mistaken, it's the exact same uniform.
Is it? Okay, but
I think the shorts, they might have added the black as part of the gradient, but the jersey remained intact.
I like it. And I like it even more when they're playing with the court. You know, like they change the court to match the colorway.
Yeah.
I think it looks very nice. I want to see Miami playing with the Miami Vice uniform.
Yeah.
With the court also adapted to the, to the colorway. That would be amazing.
So would you buy the Utah jersey, city jersey?
I don't think so. I would rather buy the regular uniform or the throwback, yes.
I would buy the Mountains throwback.
Yes.
The Wizards?
No. I actually like the Mountains throwback for Utah, and I also like the uniforms that they were in last season.
Oh, yeah.
The green one, especially. There's a green one,
there's
right?
There's a green jersey, yeah. So the other jerseys have not yet been confirmed, although there's tons of leaks. It seems that this year a lot of teams went with a similar concept and just changed the color of the jersey. So I've seen photos, for instance, the Raptors, they're going again with the North and the chevron on the chest, but they're going with white instead of black.
The who?
The Raptors.
The Raptors.
The Spurs, I've seen the leaked image. It's the camouflage jersey, which I hate.
No.
Who else? The Lakers are going with something totally different. Because they're doing this Legends series. So last year it was a tribute to Kobe. It was the black jersey and the gold with the snake scales. This year is going to be a shout out to Magic and the Showtime Lakers. And from what we've seen, and I think a lot of people have seen, it's going to be all purple with pinstripes on the jersey. And the stripes are going to say Showtime.
Okay.
And I think Magic. I'm not entirely sure about that one. I think the Mavericks are doing the same one that says Dallas on this neon font.
Okay, the problem I have with the City Edition uniforms is that if you're going to do it, you need to take your time to make something memorable.
Yeah.
You cannot just, you know, look at it and go like, oh, shit, we need to think about something and it's getting close to the deadline and whatever. Let's just make it purple and put Los Suns.
Yeah.
No, you cannot do it like that.
There's a few teams that definitely took the easy way out and like, let's just run it back and let's add something different. Now, that worked for Miami. I mean, they only changed the color of the jersey.
Yeah. But that's because it was a huge hit last year,
yeah,
the Miami Vice. I also wanted to say that I was watching the Mavs play today and I watched a couple of games last week when the Mavs were playing. And I think it's time for the Mavs to change their look. They've been following this colorway and also using this logo for a long time.
Yeah.
Since the early 2000s or?
Yeah, early 2000s, yeah. I would say.
I think it's time for them to go back to the old logo where they have the cowboy hat.
Ooh, and
it's
M?
White. Yes, the cowboy hat, and it's like green with white.
Yeah.
I think it would look nice. I think it's time to go back to that
look. You know what's a team that I think needs more of a throwback than the Mavs at this point? The Spurs, to their Fiesta colors with the teal and the pink and the gray. I think they're in need.
I don't remember.
I remember the logo.
But the uniforms were similar, right?
No, the uniforms were the same. Yes. But I think, you know, grab the current logo and add those colors, it will look fun.
Which
is against this Spurs organization, I'm sure.
Yeah, I preferred the old logo than the new logo, for sure. I like the logo with the colors, you know, like the one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I like that logo.
I think that's the one team, and maybe the Grizzlies. I'm starting to get bored. They just tweaked it a little bit.
Grizzlies should go back to the Vancouver Grizzlies colors.
They sort of did. Their city uniform, the leaked image, is a bit of a shout out to the Vancouver Grizzlies. But honestly, I mean, in this day and age where everything 90s is sort of nostalgic, the Vancouver Grizzlies jersey is a lot prettier than their new version.
Yeah, and also I think the problem with some of these teams that their throwback jerseys became like very, iconic, or people want to buy it. For example, the Vancouver Grizzlies with the Memphis Grizzlies. If they go back to the old jersey, then they're basically shooting their own sales, you know, like they're working against themselves, because they're selling so many throwback jerseys. Why would they go back to the same jersey? It doesn't make sense. You're basically killing the hype around the throwback.
Yeah, well, and also it's a relocated team. It's like OKC. They cannot go with a design that is similar to the Seattle Sonics.
Yes.
They can't.
Yes,
they just cannot. But I'm excited to see the rest of the city jerseys being unveiled. It should be in the next week or so, I predict, just because they're going to be on time before December comes around, which is when a lot of those teams are going to choose to wear their city jerseys or throwbacks. I'm excited to see what the Lakers come up as their throwbacks. Last year was the Minneapolis edition. This year, I think it's going to be the blue, like the Lakers from the Jerry West era. But anyways, even Portland last year,
I didn't like that one.
With the...
It was black, right?
It was black, yes.
And it had like... It was almost like leather kind of... Well, a different fabric, right? A different fabric.
It wasn't the fabric. It was the pattern.
Yeah.
The pattern that was different. I think they should go with a shout out to the carpet at the Portland airport.
Okay.
It's very funky. It's very 70s. It's very Portland.
I just like our uniform so much that... Like, I like the traditional uniforms from the Trailblazers, and I think that, and you probably agree with me on this one, which is not common, but I think that the Lakers and the Trailblazers, they have two of the most memorable uniforms that you cannot really touch them because they're almost perfect.
And the Celtics.
Yeah.
I felt weird saying that, but I agree. I mean, I would also include the Knicks there.
Yes, and the Knicks.
Those four.
The San Antonio
teams.
Spurs, they will never change, but not because it's memorable and iconic. It's just because they will never change.
Yeah, no, I think they're against being fun. It works for them. It's just, you know, we cannot be fun. That's against our principles.
And also Miami, they've been playing with the same uniforms for a long time, or similar colorways. But if you go back to Tim Hardaway and Alonzo Mourning time, it was a bit different.
Yeah. Again, I think that's not that nostalgia for 90s that we have right now, that us millennials have, you know, to see those old uniforms. Like the Charlotte Hornets, they're going to play with their original uniforms, and that's exciting.
And I think a team that always had horrible uniforms, and it doesn't matter how much nostalgia I have for the 90s, are the Bucks. Their uniforms are horrible. And I mean, the ones from the 90s were awful. The one
same with
like
the Hawks.
When Ray Allen was playing, yeah, when Sam Cassell was playing, was awful.
And same with the Hawks. The Hawks, I've never been a fan of their uniforms.
Yeah.
The only jersey from the Hawks that I liked, I think, was when Pete Maravich was there.
Mm-hmm.
That it said Atlanta, or it was Bob Cousy. I can't even remember. It was green, and it had a blue stripe almost across the chest. Mm. But, yeah, I've never been a huge fan. Or the Pacers. I mean, the Pacers are hit and miss.
I like the Pacers. I like... Especially, and that's nostalgia from the 90s for sure. Especially the one that it's like, it has like stripes.
Like the Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller, yes.
Yeah.
That one is very nice.
I figure you would say that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it seems like it's going to be an expensive season to get jerseys. But I'm glad. More jerseys to the collection. And
just one last thing before. I know we're getting close to the end. But we should talk about Luka Doncic and Trae Young.
Now you bring Luka Doncic at this point of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean... He's impressive, and also Trae Young, he's impressive as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would definitely go for Luka Doncic before.
I was watching the game before we started, and he was very impressive today.
Luka Doncic is going to be a very solid player.
He's a bit slow, but I think he's going to become more.
But he's got that baby fat, you know. Like, he's going to lose a lot of weight.
And he's tall. He's so tall.
He's
tall,
big,
and strong.
He's strong.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he was playing against grown men in Europe, so of course he was going to do fine. He was the MVP of the EuroLeague. So, no, sorry, not the EuroLeague, the Spanish league.
But he needs to work on his like agility. Like, he needs to become more agile.
Yeah, and that's part of, you know, being, I wouldn't call him overweight whatsoever, but a little bit on the heavier side, a bit husky. But I would still take Luka Doncic over Trae Young.
It's funny because players from the EuroLeague or players from Europe in general, not necessarily European players, but players that are famous in Europe.
Yeah.
They either make it to the league, to the NBA, when they're extremely young or when they're extremely old.
That's
like Marcelinho. Yeah. Marcelinho.
Or Teodosic.
Yes. He looks like a grandpa.
He looks like an uncle that would...
Or Prigioni. Prigioni, the Argentinian guy.
Oh, Pablo Prigioni.
Prigioni, yeah. Now he's a coach. He automatically became a coach. He played half a season and he became a coach.
No, he played more than half a season.
They're like, you're too old. You're too old.
But yeah, Teodosic, I think that he has a smoke after every game. Or he goes at halftime outside the arena and just... He has a cigarette.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised that he's smoking during the game.
Anything else, Rafael?
We should give a shout-out to...
Shout-outs time!
To Close Up 360. Remember I was telling you about them?
Yeah.
Very, very interesting YouTube page. And they also have an Instagram account. The Instagram account is Close Up 360. They make amazing videos with NBA players. But they talk more about, like... their word off the court. So they made an amazing video, amazing interview with Karl Malone. They went to his ranch and talked about his life before he became an NBA player and after his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very interesting. You guys should watch it. And they have less than 1,000 subscribers on Twitter, on YouTube, which is... I was amazed when I saw that because of the quality of the work that they're doing. So shout out to these guys.
Any other shout outs, Rafael, that take 2 minutes long?
No, I think we're done.
Thank you. Major shout out to everyone that has been part of this 10 episodes so far. Here's to 1,000 more episodes and to keep growing. We're very excited to keep talking about basketball. We hope to keep talking about more things that involve the sports. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot more about the NBA.
And less about the Lakers.
No, I don't know about that. But thank you all. We really appreciate your support. Again, we're very excited to meet a lot more people at the VanPod Fest. Even if your podcasts are not about basketball or sports, we are very excited to meet you.
Sorry, Detroit.
Sorry to everyone that we've offended so far in these 10 episodes. We'll try to get better. But again, thank you so much for your support. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Don't forget to rate us and leave a comment if you can. We'll see you next time around. Peace out.